Welcome, I'm Moshe Ferber.
And I am Ariel Munafon.
And this is the Silver Lining Podcast, a podcast about security architecture.
Good morning, everyone. We are another podcast of another chapter of the podcast Silver Lining. Good morning, Moshe.
Hi, good morning. How are you, Ariel?
I'm very good. Winter is coming, but we are okay.
The season holidays is coming.
Yeah.
And we have Oz today. Good morning, Oz. Pleasure to have you here.
Good morning, guys. Thank you for having me here. Pleasure to be here.
Okay, so Oz, I cannot really say your last name. It's too complicated. So
it would be Avenstein. This is how it's spelled.
Okay, so I'll let you introduce myself, yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm actually originating in the field of IT security. Started off in the Army, in the Navy. After that, I've been doing a little bit of IT and security engineering work for HP and then for Samsung Mobile. In a certain period of my life, I decided that I want to study the field of penetration testing. So I did several stuff in order to get there. And when I started off, I actually started from a different field, which is IoT security. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of IoT security research and I've been a team leader of a penetration testing team of IoT security.
Where?
It was a startup named Nation E. Okay. We were focusing on providing security appliances for smart grid, for smart electricity. It was very interesting, though I started to be more interested in application security. Then I started my path in application security and really drilled down in everything that is there around application security. And I've been working in application security for the past 6 years already. And I've been doing a lot of penetration tests and different application security activities for different organizations around the world, ranging from Singapore to the US to the UK. Currently, I started off my own business as a consultancy firm and providing...
You seem a little tired now.
Sorry?
You seem a little tired now.
A little bit. Lots of stuff to do alone, you know how it is.
Yeah.
So basically, that's it. I've been doing a variety of activities till now with different organizations. And today we're going to speak about the cloud and how to focus the penetration test in the cloud.
Mm-hmm. Well, basically the reason you're here is because I heard your lecture about cloud penetration testing, which was really interesting. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. I invited you here.
Thank you, guys.
To talk about it. Mm-hmm. Because again, penetration test is one of the best controls that you can have in the cloud. I mean, because it tested exactly what are you installed on. And sometimes the only thing you have is penetration testing the application. I mean, if we talk about software as a service, sometimes the only control you can have is trying to break the application. Maybe you can play a little bit with logs and access control permissions and access to your data. But the only reliance that you have that your data is safe is basically trying to pen test it. And pen testing software service is a different challenge. And of course, if you're developing your own application on top of infrastructure service, platform service, Amazon, Microsoft, Google, naturally the last stage, not the last stage, part of your pipeline is basically pen test the results and check your application. And this is probably what we're going to focus today. But my first question to you would be, so how is a cloud penetration test different from a regular penetration testing?
So of course, the main thing is that you do not own the infrastructure itself. So you have to pretty much consider what components you are allowed to test and what components you are not allowed to test. So there are different aspects of this that you need to consider prior to conducting a penetration test. First, you have to try and understand what is the cloud based model, the service model itself that you're about to test. For example, if you're testing IaaS infrastructure, so you need to consider different components that you have to consider if you're testing a service, a software as a service, cloud-based platform. So there are different aspects that you need to consider. Also in terms of compliance. So if you have different aspects of compliance that you need to take into consideration, you have to, of course, take the consideration into the cloud itself. Mm-hmm. Moreover, you have to consider the CSPs, the cloud service provider policy itself in terms of penetration testing. Different service different cloud service providers are enabling a different penetration test and are actually giving the confirmation to test different services from their cloud. So you really need to take a good look on the cloud service provider policy in order to understand what you're allowed to test and what you're not allowed to test.
So let's dive deeper into that. Let's take into that. Can you give us a little bit elaboration on the differences between Amazon, Microsoft, Google, and what they allowed you to scan, what they're not allowed you to scan, on what terms?
Or yes. Other SaaS also companies.
Yes. Yeah. So I think most of them has this one thing in common, that they allow you to test your application. They're not allowing you to test all of the components, but they generally allow you to test the application when you want to test the application. You do need to take into consideration what are the components that are allowed to test. For example, in Amazon today, you are allowed to test about, I think, 13 or 14 of their services in terms of penetration testing. So if you have an S3 integrated into your application, you're allowed to test an S3. But there are other Amazon components that you're not allowed to test. This is true not only for the components, but it is also true for the method of testing. You are not going to conduct a red team testing against the whole AWS infrastructure. You have to really focus the efforts and what are the areas that are allowed to be tested.
So this is something that you need also to give to ask for permission and to really understand what you are going to do, because if not...
That's right. If you want to conduct a red team, you need to ask for permission from the cloud service provider. Most of the cloud service providers are informing that on their policies that you need to let them know if you're conducting another activity besides the regular gray box penetration testing. So yes, it's something that should be planned with them. Okay. If you are conducting.
And different policies between Amazon, Microsoft, and Google? Do you see any differentiation specifically between them?
Yeah. First, I like to touch GCP. I think that it's the most unclear yet, because they are not really providing any indication of what of the components that are allowed to be tested. In GCP, it's pretty much vague. So I can't really tell specifically. But between AWS and Microsoft, I think one of the interesting things that you can do in Microsoft today is testing the actual security components. They're saying that every security mechanism itself can be tested if it is implemented in your application itself.
So you can test a DDoS, you can...
That's right.
Okay. Yes. That's for Microsoft.
That's for Microsoft itself.
Okay. And in Amazon, you have a specific list of services you can test. Not significantly the security services, mostly the services you installed on, like that, EC2, S3.
That's right.
EBS.
Most of the services that are incorporated in the application itself, we need to consider that Amazon today has lots more services. So most of these cannot be tested. So it's really highly important when you're testing an application, if it's a big application that is implemented in an AWS or Azure environment, really take a good look on the components that are integrated in the application. And if you're doing it with a third party, and in many cases you wouldn't want to tell the third party that is testing your application the whole structure of the application, the components that are integrated. But in that case, when we are testing a cloud application, you should do that, because these guys, the third party that you are hiring, should know what are the components that are integrated, so there won't be any situation that they will touch a component or test a component that the cloud service provider is not allowing.
Okay, interesting. So We talked about Google, Amazon, and Microsoft, and if maybe you can give some example for software as a service companies and their policies to have in mind.
I think most of the software as a service companies are not allowing to test their application, but they will provide you with their own penetration testing results. But in other cases, there are software as a service products that can be tested, and the companies itself are allowing it. And what you need to do is you need to focus your test in a certain area. You need to focus on the components that you are responsible on from the shared responsibility model. So you need to really take a look on everything that is related to the data that is in the application itself, and everything that is related to identity and access management.
Okay. Which is basically the two things that you can play with in software as a service.
That's right. Yeah. And in some applications, it may be that the identity and access management capabilities are low, but in other applications, everything that is related to roles and permissions may be something very complex. So in these cases, it's definitely valuable to test the application for vulnerabilities around.
Mm-hmm. Do you have some experience? Are you trying to do this? Are you trying to break the walls between the different tenants, like to take two tenants and see if you can bypass them, see the data between them?
Yeah, so one of the things that is mentioned...
He's smiling now.
Yeah, so one of the things that is mentioned in most of the policies of the cloud service providers is that everything that is related to multi-tenancy is not allowed. And this can be pretty vague, right? You can detect a vulnerability in S3 or in another service that can be super severe, and this may cause some multi-tenant data leakage. But still, it's something that is stated in the CSP's policies. So let's just say that the penetration testing team, whether it's internal or external, should not try and focus their effort on extracting data that is related or conducting actions that are related to other entities or tenants. Yeah.
Yeah. What we do in the cloud security trends, we recommend having two tenants on your own. Sometimes it's possible, sometimes it's not possible. Yeah, but I'm not sure that... But it also can break most of the CSP's policies.
That's right.
As far as I understand.
That's right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Last question about it. When you meet a software as a service company, they tell you, okay, don't scan, I'll give you my own penetration test results. Mm-hmm. Do they give you something that you can work with? Or did they just give you, okay, we find five high severity items and we fix them. That's it. I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think this question is interesting because it's pretty much specific. I believe that when you will receive a penetration testing report from a CSP, in some cases, the vulnerabilities will not be related to your application or your business, but in other cases, it may be related. So it's definitely important to request these and go through these and understand whether it can impact your business or if you're seeing any risks in these vulnerabilities that may impact your business or application that is mm-hmm. running on the cloud.
Okay, moving on. So we understand the different policies. Cloud penetration testing, what do you need to consider? What are the stages?
We
talked about it in two different questions, but I think judging from the direction you're talking, maybe we will unite them into one. So things to consider and the different methodology and different stages mm-hmm. of the pen testing.
Yeah, so I think the first thing to do in the planning phase is to, again, really deeply understand the CSP's policy and what is allowed to be tested and what is not allowed to be tested. This is something that should be highlighted, of course, to the penetration tester. It's highly important. The second thing is to try and focus the penetration test around cloud threats that are relevant and the top cloud threats. So you really need to try and take from the top cloud threats what are the actual findings and vulnerabilities that I want to try and detect in the application itself. Another thing that you can do in the planning phase is to try and establish an understanding in the penetration testing team of the components that are integrated, so they will highly know where to put their focus.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and if I'm now looking from the people that are coming for you to make the pen test, what do you suggest? You know, I didn't come from the security angle, but I really build applications also to the government. Okay, so I was really scared before we made the first test, because I didn't trust our developers of what we did, and we went to train, and I wasn't sure even one what to ask, the things that change or giving me the idea to really give me the confidence, not the idea that I'm, even testing it right. I didn't know how to do it. So what can you give, to our side about the things that we should do?
Yeah, so I think there are different phases for the application test. And as I mentioned now, the first step is actually in the planning phase, is to do this small planning to understand the CSP's policies, the top threats, and the components of the application. But the other stages can also incorporate actions that are related to conduct a better penetration test. For example, after conducting the planning phase, you should conduct threat modeling. And this threat modeling can be based on Stride or Dread or other approaches that you are familiar with. But you should give a specific focus on related cloud threats. If you're thinking about spoofing, if you're thinking about repudiation, you should think about specific cloud vulnerabilities and threats that may be occur. Because if you establish this understanding before and you have the threat model before, you can utilize the penetration testing team time more efficiently, so they will know what threats they need to focus in order to extract and try and get, sorry, vulnerabilities that are highly interesting and related to what you're trying to achieve in the penetration test. Yeah, and moreover, in other stages, for example, in the reconnaissance phase, you can definitely try and look outside for items that are related to the cloud infrastructure or to the cloud application. This can be API keys. This can be information about personnel that are handling the cloud infrastructure. This can be access keys, and this can be usernames. So you can actually, in the information gathering phase, try and get some threat intelligence or general threat intelligence about cloud relevant items. Mm-hmm. Additionally, in this phase, you can use discovery tools that are specific for clouds. And this may give a better understanding and better results for the penetration test itself.
Can you give us a couple of examples for discovery tools that are relevant to the cloud?
Specific names I can't extract from my head just like that. But there are tools that are specific for AWS and Azure, and there are a lot of these in all the common websites, from Kitsploy to Hacker News and such. I think every week I see a new tool for cloud penetration testing. They even now make them specific for each service, so you can either exploit a specific service or discover a specific service more efficiently. So it's definitely important to look at the tool set that the penetration testers are about to use in the test itself.
So with up until now, I just want to summarize this. We're talking about we talked about the following stages: the preparation stage, where you understand the different cloud provider policies, you understand which cloud provider is it and what is its policies and the different application components, right? This is the first stage where you map everything around. Then the second stage is the threat modeling, where you try to emphasize, okay, these are the threats that I want to cope with. This is for better plan your penetration test, right? So basically I am saying, okay, I'm focusing on availability, or I'm focusing on confidentiality of the data based on the threat modeling. And the third stage, which we just completed, is basically the reconnaissance. So now I'm trying to understand, okay, so I'm in which S3 region are you using, or even the buckets, and who are the people behind the application. I'm checking LinkedIn to see if I find who is managing the cloud infrastructure for this application, right? So this is the reconnaissance phase. Yeah. The next phase is the actual testing. Tell us a little bit more about it.
Yeah, great examples, by the way, on the information gathering. I think one of the additional things that you can do is utilize name servers or utilize even leaked information in pay sites and such. There's a lot to be done when you're looking at the cloud. When we're talking about the active testing, so the first thing that the penetration testing team should do is to validate the scope, to try and look at the application and examine it that they are not going outside of the testing scope that is allowed to be tested, and to try and identify the services that are incorporated in the application but are allowed to be tested. I think that in terms of the active testing, one of the things that the penetration testing team should try and do is first utilize the whole or this whole set of OS int items that they have gathered before.
Open source intelligence.
Yes.
OS int.
Okay. Yes, so everything they gather in the reconnaissance phase should really be trying to be utilized in the test itself. Moreover, everything that is related to leveraging of misconfigured services. So when we are detecting the services that we are about to test that are part of the cloud infrastructure, we should try and test for any misconfigurations or any issues that are related for in these services specifically.
And as we know, there are a lot of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Misconfiguration is our biggest problem. Can you give us some kind of example for misconfiguration you encountered? Like, is it an open bucket, for instance?
Yeah, I think the last one that I saw was an open bucket, which still happens.
It's still open.
It still happens. But I think there's a lot of issues also with in IaaS infrastructures with misconfigured firewalls and misconfigured routes between applications. So you can, in many cases, try and examine a lot more of the application that you should. If the application is broad and is based on this kind of infrastructure, yeah, so this happens.
Usually, I know there are different kind of scenarios for pen testing, but usually organizations are telling you, this is the application, use everything you need to break it. You can call our engineers at home. You can come to our offices with a discount key, or they tell you, I want to do the basic things, scan our website and see if it has some kind of open vulnerabilities. Don't go over the wall with that. I mean, what do they usually ask you to do?
Yeah, so I think CISOs that are not familiar, or security managers that are not familiar with cloud infrastructure and how to test cloud specifically, they are familiar with the old penetration testing or the IT common penetration testing. So yeah, this is what they will ask. So yeah, come and break my infrastructure or break my application, find everything and extract everything. Mm-hmm. I want to show to my managers that this was worth the money and we have lots of stuff to do, and I want to give some tasks to the R&D so they'll have something to do as well. But I have to stop them in most cases, because again, there are a lot of considerations that need to be made prior to a cloud penetration test. And I think most CISOs today and security managers are not familiar with what are the with these actual considerations to be made. And it's not only that the test won't be efficient as it can be, but it can also cause issues with the cloud service provider itself. So I love this approach as well. And let's try and break everything. Unfortunately, when our application is based on an infrastructure that we don't own, we need to just take other considerations and conduct it in a different manner.
Okay, so this is the actual testing. Next phase, what is it?
So the last phase is the actual reporting. As you all know, probably penetration test ends up with a report that enumerates the vulnerabilities, their severity and probability and such. And I think one of the interesting things that I've encountered and that I've been requested to include a certain part of the report that will consolidate the information that is related to the cloud. Not only the vulnerabilities that were detected, but also the actual components and also the actual OS int that was collected. Because in most cases, the CISO doesn't have the visibility like the R&D has. So he's not only achieving from the penetration task the actual vulnerabilities, but he's gaining a certain degree of visibility utilizing the report itself. And this visibility allows him not only to see, okay, there's a vulnerability that exists in this server or in the other server, but it also enables him to see the full attack surface that was actually attacked in the penetration test by the penetration tester. So I think one thing that you can do in the reporting, and I've been very happy that I've incorporated into my reports, is to have this actual part that is related only to the cloud.
Can you give us an example what's in there?
Yeah, it can be an enumeration of the attack surface itself, the services that are utilized in the application, the actual IP addresses that have been tested, a part that include the OS int that was collected and where it was found. So everything that is related to the cloud itself will be.
Okay, it will give the CISO some kind of...
some sort of visibility and mapping.
It doesn't have all this information. It will give them the file about this application, basically.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Because from what I see until now, for CISOs, it's kind of vague, everything that happens in the application itself. Most CISOs are not familiar with these items and with this information that they can receive. So for them, if somebody is already testing the application to detect the vulnerabilities, there's a lot of things besides the vulnerabilities that he's seeing. He's seeing the full attack surface. He's collecting information prior to conducting the penetration test. So this is a lot more that you can get from a penetration test in the report itself.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So trying to understand the process of people who are inviting you to do this penetration test. Mm-hmm. So from what I'm getting for you, most of it is this is the engineering team building an application. Then the CISO is inviting you to test them. It's not like you're working with the engineering team all the way. This is how we build the application. And in the end, you're pen testing them. It's coming from the external entity, which is the CISO.
Yeah,
as far as I understand.
That's an interesting question because the method that you mentioned just now, I think this is the common method, but it's recently I've been hearing different requests. For example, if in the past, or the common penetration test we used to test in when there's the final version and we will test the whole application. Mm-hmm. Today I'm receiving requests from different CISOs that they want the penetration testing team to be more integrated with R&D and product. And why is that? Because first, you don't need to test the application from scratch when your application is made from microservices and you can conduct much more focused tests. So what we're trying to do now with different organizations is to incorporate RPT with their R&D and product cycles. So for example, if we know that in this quarter, we're about, the company is about to launch new features, so we will only test these features. And not only that we will test these features specifically, we will understand what are these features doing, how are these features built, and how it is integrated in the application, so we can very specifically test these features and make an efficient test, a quick test, and a test that is not bothering the R&D too much as well, which is important. So I think the penetration testing itself, in terms of how it is conducted and how it is integrated in the organization, I think it's kind of changing now and is tending to be more closer to the CI/CD methodologies that are incorporated today than the methodologies that were before.
I think there are three things that are pushing into that. First of all, people understand that doing the penetration test in the end is much more expensive to fix things. The more you detect, you know, shifting left, the faster you detect them. Second, microservices, as you mentioned. I don't have to test the entire application. I can test per service. And the third thing is that people are developing faster. I mean, we used to develop, like, the development cycles were long and there was enough time to call us and tell you, okay, I need you on March 3rd to test the version. Today, there's like, they could deploy like 500 production changes a day and somebody has to pen test them. And I cannot wait until us will get there and do the penetration testing. I have to incorporate him along the way. So these are basically the things that are pushing us to, into more. And this is actually the methodology that CSA is declaring. I mean, part of the testing should be unit testing, static analysis, dynamic analysis, also pen testing.
That's right. I think it also in terms of times, because a penetration test is eventually it's based on hours capacity. So when you're scoping an application, this application is pretty wide, so it's really hard to be very accurate in the time that you need to test. You can enumerate the features, you can go by each one, and you can estimate. But this estimation is kind of rough estimation if the application is big. But when you're testing a feature specifically each time or a service each time, you can be much more accurate in the times that you are actually spending on a penetration test.
Okay.
So I think in terms of efficiency, it gives a lot to organizations.
Okay, two more small questions. I'll ask them in together. Maybe the answer will be different. First of all, what is bigger, the amount of vulnerabilities you find in the code, in the actual code of the developer organization, or misconfiguration? I'm trying to understand where do we do more mistakes. And second, 10 years ago when I was talking to application security guys, 90% of all developments was .NET. Okay, so a couple of other guys were developing in other languages, but today I think there's a much bigger variety. Also, the languages are behaving very differently. There's a big variety, and languages are very different. Very different from one another, but very different on their specific requirements. So how do you, as a penetration test guy, does it affect you? Does it matter if it's developed in React or Java? Do you test differently? I mean, what is it to you? Or do you look at the application as complete?
So I'll touch the first question. We're seeing vulnerabilities that are arising from misconfigurations, but also code vulnerabilities. I think it's pretty much the same, but I think the tendency is that everything that is related to code vulnerabilities might not occur again if it comes to the R&D. For example, if there was an issue with input validation or output validation, so you'll probably won't see it again, at least from my experience. If you detected like 3 or 4 XSS in an application, so if you'll test it in 6 months, you probably won't see any XSS
issue. Because the organization is learning.
Yes, because the developers are learning. This is what I saw. But in terms of cloud misconfigurations, I think it's kind of different. Because in many cases, it's different to control in the organization. Sometimes developers have the ability to set up their own environments. And the guy that actually conducted the fix for the cloud misconfigurations was the DevOps. So there is a gap between these. So I think it's also a lot of matter of accountability, because different personas in the organizations are allowed to conduct cloud related mm-hmm. actions. So this is one.
Many organizations still let developers build their own environment with no guarding rails, as one of our podcast was talking about, giving mm-hmm. them the ability to launch their environment, but on a specific term set.
Yeah, I even saw some organizations that are allowing their security teams to set up an environment in the cloud, and this environment was not secure. So, you know,
we have lack of knowledge in general, that's for sure.
Yeah. And it's more human that, you know, that we do things if they're not automated, but when like Oz says, that if there is a code or something that you use, you just reuse it, so it's you fix it one, you fix it at all. Mm-hmm. So the mm-hmm. next question was Moshe about the
variety,
Oz remember,
the variety of languages.
So I think the every language and every framework that is used now, all the new languages and frameworks that are used definitely have more security mechanisms, and are coming pre-configured with some security features. In terms of the test itself, it doesn't, in most cases, it doesn't matter to me whether I'm trying to find a specific vulnerability or not in a specific framework that is integrated. You mentioned React. So for example, if React is integrated, it's much more difficult to find an XSS, but it's not impossible. So I may have to conduct a little bit research about it, and I may need to examine the application more thoroughly in order to detect the area where I can find an XSS. But it's not that I will stop my attempts completely, or just not look around this corner of vulnerability and just pass it around. So it definitely gives more value to developers from the R&D side. But from my perspective, there is still, the vulnerabilities are still out there. You can never know how was any new framework was upgraded. There might be a vulnerability just now introduced to an update and hasn't been there before, right?
Okay, but you as a penetration test, you need to have the knowledge. I mean, okay, this is how I'm testing React, this is how I'm testing JavaScript. You need to understand the frameworks beneath.
That's right, that's for sure.
So in the end, we'll have people, okay, I'm specializing in penetration testing for .NET. I'm specializing in penetration testing for React and Java, I don't know.
Yeah, so I think it's something from the customer perspective that needs to be asked when you are inviting a penetration task, also mm-hmm. in terms of the cloud itself, not only in terms of the frameworks and languages, but when you're conducting a penetration test and you're inviting a penetration testing team. So you should ask them if they are familiar with the cloud service provider, the components mm-hmm. that are mm-hmm. That exist on a cloud service provider, with the framework itself and how to abuse the framework, or vulnerabilities that are related to the framework. Mm-hmm. And I think it's something that should be proactively asked from the penetration testing team vendor to present and to show that the guys to the customer that is requesting the test. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Definitely valuable.
One last really low level technical question. Let's say, for instance, my data is, I don't know, MongoDB, some kind of service, or RDS, some kind of service. Mm-hmm. And this service is not in the scope of Amazon. You're not allowed to test it.
That's right.
Can you still do SQL, for instance, try to do SQL injection on the application front end? Or is that consider that you're testing the database itself?
That's a very good question, because you're incorporating it in your application, so it is allowed. It's not like you're testing the service,
itself. Okay, because mm-hmm. I'm doing it from the application, from the application interface, not from the database.
That's right. You are not testing it from the database itself.
Good question, Amish.
Thank you.
Great stuff.
So trying to summarize this. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the difference between a cloud penetration test and on-premise penetration test is the fact that, first of all, you're not owning the infrastructure, so you need to ask permission. You have different policies you need to adhere to. You need to understand which policies the cloud provider have, and you need to work with that. You don't have the free rein to do anything you want. And after you understand what basically we're talking about five stages methodology, starting from the preparation stage, where you understand your different constraints, you understand the different policies, moving to the threat modeling, understand how to make the penetration test effective, reconnaissance, understand which services you're going to use, understand, check your GitHub, check the LinkedIn for understanding who the guys that operate this behind the scenes, and the actual penetration test itself. And of course, the last stage, which is basically delivering the results, and over here, you can add a lot of things into the visibility of the application. And other things that we learned, misconfiguration is big. Misconfiguration happens all the time. You also check it for the application infrastructure. You need to check it in other places. For instance, I do a lot of cloud reviews where I open the management dashboard and check for those misconfiguration. And also you need to, if you're asking, taking the customer side now, if you're looking for penetration testing for your application, first of all, make sure that the provider knows the cloud infrastructure you installed on, make sure you understand the different frameworks you work with, the different services you work with, and the best results you get if you try to incorporate this into their CI/CD process, into the development process, and not just do one penetration test in the end, just test everything. It will be more expensive, and probably you will have more false positive during that. Anything we missed?
I think it's also highly important from the customer perspective to understand the focus areas around the shared responsibility model that he's utilizing in a specific application or infrastructure that he wants to test. Understand that the components that you are still responsible on. So this can give you a lot of indication where you want to focus the penetration test and what are the vulnerabilities that are actually feasible to be extracted during the test. Another thing is, really take a look on the CSP's policies so you don't get to an interference with the CSP itself.
Perfect.
Okay. It was really interesting. I remember the first time that I heard about Pity. So now I feel that I understand a lot more.
Thank you. So thank you, Oz. It was very interesting. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your time.